Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an apartment sucks wherever you live. People in New York will say, oh, it's so hard to find an apartment here. It's hard to find an apartment anywhere. It stinks. You have your mandatories. You have the things that you won't compromise on. You have the things that you don't care about. Like, let's say, I need a dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I can't live without a dishwasher. I don't care if I don't have a washer and dryer. Some people feel the exact opposite. Some people don't need any amenities. Some people need an elevator. Some people don't.
That's so beautiful. We all need different things. And that's why Apartments.com has an app where you can literally use it to tell it what you need and what you don't need. And it tells you, oh, apartments. Here's some.
So instead of looking through every single rental listing you possibly can in the neighborhoods you want, you set and forget, like in that old rotisserie grill ad, you set and forget what you want, and Apartments.com will let you know when an apartment that matches what you want appears on the market.
From pet-friendly apartments to balconies to in-unit ACs, Apartments.com's powerful search tools let you know when the perfect combination of features you're seeking are listed. So you don't have to power through rental descriptions one by one. With more rental listings than anywhere else, Apartments.com's instant alerts mean you can spend less time online looking for the perfect place and more time doing you.
Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
You or Jayla? Yeah.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And she declined.
In parentheses.
She declined.
Here's what we're not going to be talking about. Taylor Swift. Here's what we will be talking about. Other things that aren't Taylor Swift related.
We can talk about Taylor Swift briefly.
Mm-hmm.
Can we even do that?
I mean...
All of the different Scots in this story.
We've definitely shoehorned in more themy topics because we wanted to, but part of me selfishly is like, I don't even really want to talk about this, so I'm gonna play the them card and be like, Oh, it's too themy. We cannot possibly discuss this.
I didn't know who Scott Borchetta was.
First of all, too many Scots.
Isn't her dad Scott too? Scott Swift.
Her dad is named Scott. The guy who runs Big Machine is named Scott. Scooter's real name is Scott. Like,
there are too many Scots.
Scott Disick's just going to show up just to be like, did anyone say there was a party of Scots happening? Like,
he's like, I just bought the Masters to mean.
Wait, what is that?
I just bought one.
I don't even think Scott Disick could afford one.
We don't have to talk about the whole drama, but it was really funny watching it unfold in the exact same way that her drama with Kim Kardashian unfolded, where it was like piece by piece by piece by piece. And with that, we can move on to the first two of the week. Her name is Marianne Williamson.
And Ms. Williamson,
my first
the last
call
word.
Is to Prime Minister of New Zealand, who said that her goal is to make New Zealand the place where it's the best place in the world for a child to grow up. And I will tell her, girlfriend, you are so wrong, because the United States of America is going to be the best place in the world for a child to grow up.
Fuck. Are we late?
We don't
late?
Like talking
are
about politics.
Late? Are we too late?
We don't like talking about politics on this blog, but fortunately, neither does Marianne Williamson.
Yeah, I was going to say, this woman could not be further from politics.
Imagine if Lindsay, if the camera panned at the Democratic debate and it was like, there's Biden, like, okay, there's Yang. And then like, just suddenly there's Lindsay. That was sort of like, and she's like
and they're
waving.
Like, Lindsay, what's your plan? And I'm like,
Mr. Finger, you have 30 seconds. And I just go, me and Grace, me and Grace, me and Grace, me and Grace. That is Marianne Williamson. I missed this. So I watched the first night of the debate. Lindsay came over.
Mm-hmm.
We watched the first night of the debate.
We love politics, yeah.
We love politics so much. Lindsay made some
hooey-ass
dessert that I was like rolling my eyes at. And then she served it. And I was like, this is so good.
I know.
It was like...
it's so good.
What you do is you get a pan. And then you take the pan. And then you put a layer of those...
Trader Joe's purchased meringues. In the pan.
And then you... And then you take a can of whipped cream and then you smash the meringues with the can of whipped cream until it's all smashed crumbly meringues at the bottom of the pan. Then you take a thing of raspberries and strawberries, whatever, like red,
just berries,
delicious
blueberries, blackberries.
And you sprinkle the berries over the crushed meringue. And then you take a can of whipped cream.
Or your own
and you turn
whipped
it back
cream that you've made.
Or the one that you made. I bet Cool Whip would be good as well.
Oh,
then
yeah.
Then you just... cover it in that whipped cream. And then you put it in a bowl and you serve it in bowls. And it's like you got the crunchiness of the meringues. You've got the sweetness of the berries and you've got the creaminess. The tartness of the berry, yeah. And then the light of smooth, creamy sweetness of the cream.
Heard that this is a bootleg version of a pavlova, which is a real dessert. But mine is just a no cook, no fuss. The only thing you have to do is honestly cut the fruit, if you want to do that.
if you want to do that.
It's a
The pavlova has the meringue all on the side, then it's the baked meringue. I see what a pavlova is. Okay,
you could also, you could make your own meringue, you could make your own whipped cream, you could make the berries into more of a compote. There are ways to upgrade this recipe that I have created.
Point is, we ate that while we were watching the first debate, and then the second night, I couldn't watch. Did you watch live?
No.
So I get home, and there's 5 minutes left in the debate.
I went to see John Early instead.
What did I miss? Oh, right. I get home, and I was like, so Josh, what did I miss? And he was like, he didn't even really talk about Marianne. He was like, well, Marianne Williamson is, kind of nuts, but, you missed these Kamala Harris clips. And so he showed me all these Kamala Harris clips, and I was like, yes, queen, yes, bitch, yes. And so I literally don't know about this Marianne Williamson thing until the next day when I'm trying to piece together these memes, and I'm like, what did I miss with this woman? And then yesterday, I was hanging out with a couple of our friends, and one of them was like, wait, you haven't seen this video? And he kept quoting, and Mr. President, if you're listening.
Well, didn't you say line? That thing where she was like, so long, girlfriend, that thing? What was that?
Yes. So I finally saw the clips last night, Sunday night. The last day of Pride is when I find out about Marianne Williamson. And I feel so late to the game. Lindsay, who is she?
Whoa, that was a who is that this was woman? A steep transition.
She's a failed actor turned self-help guru, I guess.
Is she was she a failed actor?
I don't know. I just, because of the LA thing makes me feel like she just didn't
She's a Hollywood embedded, very long time self-help guru, most famously known for being Oprah Winfrey's go-to spiritual advisor. Oprah has
failed cabaret singer. I was wrong. Okay, great. I take it back.
Wow. So this woman turns out, what's really amazing about her is everyone's like, lol, she's running for president. But this woman has been in the culture for a long time. And people who are way older than us, oh my God, that's rude. People who are older than us by only slightly bits are like, oh, that woman, she is been around. She's a thing. What was great was that someone tweeted an old Vanity Fair feature on her, which I read. And so here's the poll. Read the poll for you. This was written in
1981.
There is a new prophet for the new age, and she's no Tammy Faye Baker. Marianne Williamson is a liberal, Jewish, ex-lounge singer from Texas. Oh my God, that's like us combined, who preaches about Jesus, Jung, and the SNL crisis, and whose supporters, including Bette Midler, oh my God, David Geffen, Cher, and Shirley MacLaine, raise big bucks for her good works. But as Leslie Bennett's reports, some wonder if Williamson's real mission is to shine brighter than the stars who follow her. And you know what? The answer now we know is yes, it was the plan all along.
Yeah, it was.
She's
that was
running
the
for
plan.
Fucking president.
So she read this book and took this course. I don't know how you describe what it means to ingest this thing called A Course in Miracles. But it's this very metaphysical sort of... I mean, you were right to compare it to Mormonists because it's like he had a direct line to Jesus.
So this woman,
but this woman
wrote
Helen
this
Cohn
book
Schuckman.
In which she talks to Jesus and writes a book of what
and the
Jesus
book,
says.
The book is incredibly long. It's over 1,000 pages long. It's called A Course in
She's
Miracles.
Also
and apparently,
a Jew.
It's very dense. It's very meandering. And it's kind of hard to take in. And so when Marianne Williamson read this book, she was like, I can distill this into something a little more palatable for people. And she did. And she wrote another book based on this book because this woman died in 1981. So A Course in Miracles already exists. And so by the time Marianne Williamson reads it or decides to do something with it, it's after this woman is dead. The book is sort of just floating around and it's still hard to understand. She writes a book called A Return to Love, which is very openly about her just... exploring what she's learned from A Course in Miracles and how anyone can like deal with this in their own lives. And that book is read by Oprah, who was like, this book changed my fucking life.
Oprah tells everyone to read it. What's funny about Oprah's is that she said that she got, where did I put this? She experienced 157 miracles. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of times people think, I want another relationship or another experience or another job in order for it to be happening.
Yes.
But it is our being the people that we are capable of being, and the perfect lesson for us to practice being who we're capable of being is whatever is happening
right now.
So.
Whoa, that's big.
She experienced 157 miracles.
I don't know if I've ever... Have you experienced any miracles? A couple?
Certainly not 157.
Yeah, 157. And I would lose count. After so many miracles, too. Is she keeping a notebook?
It's just Does she
take down her miracles?
So Oprah grasps on. And it becomes a big phenomenon. And one of the things that's... There are a few things that are funny about Williamson's past is that one, she was... At one point, she was roommates with Laura Dern. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She also did a lot
before Laura Dern did Blue Velvet.
Right. And so that was her roommate. She started this thing called Project Angel Food to feed people with HIV AIDS. So like she does. What's cool is that like buried beneath a lot of the like jargon that she's creating and obviously the attention that she's craving, she's doing like good works, because the essence of her book in teachings is like love, lead with love. Mm-hmm. So through that, she's done things that like, you know,
are good,
aren't
yes.
bad at all. Basically, where is
But does that mean she should be president?
No,
unclear.
Well, come on. I mean, she also has a book called A Course in Weight Loss, 21 Spiritual Lessons for Surrendering Your Weight Forever. So like she took this and ran with it.
And she even released what is it? The Politics of Love. What is the book that she released right like in the middle of her campaign
right.
for president?
Right. Well, that's the other thing is people think A Politics of Love, it says, it's a variation of the same message Mrs. Williamson has been delivering since the late 1980s, but Thursday night it landed before a new audience less likely to be aware of her self-help book series, the latest which, A Politics of Love, was released just a few months into her campaign. Endeavors, she says, that are not so related. Quote, if I was just out to sell books and do better in my career commercially, I would have never entered politics. I saw somebody on Twitter say, this is a cash grab. She's going to raise money and then she's going to take all the campaign contributions and then she's going to quit. And I thought, no, that's how you go to prison. A much better idea would just be to write another book, which, to be fair, is a good argument.
So a good thread, L.E.V. Hall found some old tweets from hers, because she never deleted her tweets. Marianne Williamson is all about transparency and openness, honestly. And she loves herself. She loves everyone. So she loves all of us. Why would she delete her tweets? They give us so much joy. They include sentiments like this in 2010. All the films are good, but Avatar has changed the world. She's watching the Oscars.
Oh, I love her.
He didn't win an Oscar tonight, but James Cameron deserves a Nobel Peace Prize. And then 7 years later, in 2017, she's still thinking about Avatar like all of us. Yeah. We never stopped thinking about Avatar.
No, never.
If you want a simple explanation for what's happening in America, watch Avatar again.
No.
It's like, okay, sure.
She tweeted...
Dance in the fields of infinite possibility. The universe literally loves you.
Well, I was also thinking that she recently also got in trouble for something else, but then she called herself a bitch for God. And I was like, okay. Did you see that?
No.
A political campaign, this is from the New York Times, a political campaign is a chance to exhume everything a candidate has said in her career, from all the tweets to exactly what she meant 30 years ago when she called herself a bitch for God at a charity event. Quote, I think it's fair to say I wish I'd never said that. Something was going on many years ago in a situation that had to do with some AIDS patients. I would open up my course with a prayer. There was something we were doing when someone said, Marianne, I don't think we should open the prayer. And I said, no, I think we should open with a prayer. And I was getting all this resistance to opening with a prayer. And they said, you're being a real bitch about this. And she said, if I'm a bitch, I'm a bitch for God.
That's fair. That's good.
I love a Jewish person who like just pivots spiritually. A Jewish person who realizes that talking about Jesus will make you way more money than talking about anything that's Jewish related.
Yes.
Oh, she also married Elizabeth Taylor. Did you see that?
Oh yeah, she was the officiant.
Yeah. Wow.
My favorite thing about her, which you put in here, is that one of her most famous quotes is, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. And apparently, for a really long time, including like currently.
Yes,
people
currently
frequently mistake that quote as something from Nelson Mandela. And she's always like, so even in movies, apparently in Coach Carter and in Aquila and the Bee, they cite that, they use that quote and they say that's a Nelson Mandela quote.
It is not.
But it's like, no, it's fucking Marianne Williamson. What's the opposite of Nelson Mandela? It's Marianne Williamson. In 2018, Meghan Markle, the Duchess of Sussex, read the properly attributed selection alongside Prince Harry at St. Luke's Church Christmas Carol concert to benefit a Ugandan, to benefit Ugandan school children.
So you're saying Meghan,
so Meghan Markle knows.
Attributed like, it correctly.
Meghan fucking knows. Meghan, are you kidding? Meghan's read Return to Love 100 times.
So like, are
if
we
anyone's
obsessed?
Had 153 miracles, it's Meghan
Oh
Markle.
My God, that's so true. That's so true.
I bet you, oh my God. Now what? I want to read a Return to Love.
Meghan Markle.
I'm going to have to read
Marianne
a Return to Love.
Williamson. I just searched both their names. Let's see. I wonder if she wrote about her in The Tig that is now probably not searchable.
If The Tig, well, The Tig is on Wayback Machine, but it would probably require a lot of like weird searching to find an article about A Return to Love, but I bet it exists.
A lot of people are mentioning this poem that she read with the quote. So that's mostly the connection between them.
It seems like just like, so A Return to Love is just sort of like a more Jesus-y secret?
Yes, it's also just super new agey, I feel like. I couldn't, like, the original is like this woman who is writing down what Jesus is saying, and it's very convoluted, and then Marianne Williamson's whole thing and her, I mean, her platform is very liberal. I mean, it's very,
she's like, yes, healthcare. Reparations. She's helping out AIDS. She loves,
The Green New Deal for show. She loves
Green New Deal for show.
She loves, you know, universal pre-K. She wants to help Israelis and Palestinians come back together with peace and love. That one is a little bit like, because her whole thing is like, lead with love, lead with peace. She's really into like those ideas.
Yeah.
I mean, she really, though, is the, not again, unqualified, should not win. I'm not voting for her. Do not say that I am doing.
Yeah.
But she is the.
Don't you dare say that we are endorsing Marianne Williamson.
She's like the spiritual opposite of Donald Trump in that they both were inexperienced people. They both came from not the background a politician usually comes from, or come from not the background that a politician usually comes from. His thing is all about power, noise, you know, anger, aggression, and her whole thing is like the very opposite, but they've both monetized their vibe, their entire brand, you know?
Yeah.
He's got hotels, he's a business tycoon, he's blah blah blah, steaks, everything. She's got books about spiritual weight loss. She's teaching you how to, you know, stand up for yourself and talking to Jesus and all these things.
Yeah. It's very like Shark Tank when I'm not gonna invest in your business, but like I will be a customer. So
you,
like,
I'm not gonna
endorse Marianne Williamson, but I will buy A Return to Love and like, you know, maybe talk about it on a future episode. Everything I learned, I'm gonna start keeping track of all the miracles that I've attained.
If you get insufferable and start talking about fucking miracles,
get insufferable, please. It'll just become my insufferability is just going to transform into something entirely new. Some might say new agey.
If you don't, you dare. The kombucha was like honestly the final straw, and I let that slide.
Still making kombucha.
Okay.
The last thing I want to say about, although maybe I bet those miracles, I bet she calls every harvest day a miracle.
Oh, I would too. Have you seen those cucumbers?
Those
They're
baskets.
Huge.
A miracle.
That's a miracle.
Miracle, 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 miracle.
Maybe because she's using Miracle Grow, am I right, Williamson? Bobby? Pesticides God. And fertilizer. Okay, go ahead.
In 1979, after delving into A Course of Miracles, she returned to Houston, where she ran a combination metaphysical bookstore and coffee shop.
Perfect.
That is...
That's your dream.
That's where I'm going to end up. Also, that reminds me of... maybe she was the inspiration for that woman in The Craft. Oh, I guess they didn't sell coffee there. It was just a bookstore.
We don't really know whether they sold coffee in the back.
Was that... Marianne Williamson.
This temple is built on a blaze of power. Sarah, you have a tremendous light inside you. More than any witch I've ever known. You must not be afraid.
I can't control it. I always end up hurting somebody.
Do you hear the voice of your mother?
What about her?
She's telling you to be strong. She was a witch too, of course.
No.
You can defeat those who challenge you, but you must surrender yourself to the higher power.
Yeah, that woman actually kind of looks like Marianne Williamson. Who who played that woman, the bookstore owner?
Marianne Williamson.
No.
Marianne Williamson. What if we found out that's Marianne Williamson?
No, who played her?
I don't know. She's like, oh, I hate that woman is like okay with everyone stealing out of her bookstore.
Well, no, she was only okay with them stealing when it was like meant for them to have the book, which is the problem with owning a magic bookstore. No, am I right?
What do you think that bookstore is now? Like in the universe of The Craft, what did that bookstore turn into? Like a coffee bean? Or was it just demolished and turned into a high rise?
It's like a haunted coffee bean. It's like, why do all of our lattes taste like poopy? And it's like,
There's still a weird pentagram in the back. And it's like, we don't know what this is. The last tenant had it here.
Okay.
But like Robin Tunney like pays and she's like, oh, you're not like your friends.
Yeah, and that's
like,
the best what? Part. Yeah, and then they go in the back. And remember in the back, they do like the little thing in the back of the house?
Yeah.
Okay.
Back of the house.
Just FYI, that woman in the movie is named Lirio. And she is played by a woman named...
Assumpta Serna.
Assumpta Serna.
Is she the nun? Oh, no, she's been a nun.
Also, she's literally iconic. She has been in over 103 films across the world.
Oh, my God. She's incredible.
She plays Vanosa Catiani in Borgia. Come on. She's a legend.
She's in an Almodovar film. She's in a Matador.
Incredible.
Oh my God.
So Marianne Williamson Assumpta
Serna.
Is playing Assumpta Serna. That's her. No, she kind of does look like her.
She looks like her.
In the movie, though, in The Craft, not like in real life.
Yeah. She was the first Spanish actress to join the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. Good for her.
God, I love this wiki. It can be assumed that Lirio is from Spain, as she speaks with a Spanish accent. Assumpta Serna, the actress who portrays her, is also from Spain. So that's why, you dummy.
It can be assumed that she's Spanish, and guess what? She's Spanish.
Oh, I love it. Wow.
I'm really happy for her. There she is. Okay. You're not like your friends.
Can we move on, please?
You're not like your friends. Who's next? Who is next on the wild, vaguely political?
I just am thinking of somebody coming into your coffee shop and you're like going out of business because you keep giving away free coffee. Because people come in and you're like, oh, I have something for you. And then you like make them some gross.
Mr. Finger, why are you speaking in a bad Spanish accent all the time? And it's like, oh, I can tell you want to be caffeinated. And it's like, that's not even, I can tell you need the caffeine. And it's like, wait, what are you doing?
It's like, I ordered like a no foam latte with oat milk. And you're like, no, you need this.
I'm the Java version of Juliette Binoche in Chocolat. Oh, yeah.
This one will make your husband like, have sex with you.
I'm like, I like pass someone a macchiato and I'm like, it's your favorite. And they're like, I wanted an oat latte. Just a steamed milk. Just a big steamed milk.
Oh my God, Chocolat
with like one little shot of espresso. Chocolat, and they're like, lactose intolerant. And I'm like, no, it's your favorite. Chocolat is the best movie. Is that what you're going to say? The best movie?
It's like such a fully demented movie. I love it. Anyways, sorry, we can move on now. I just was thinking about your
Chocolat is like very peak. It's very peak Miramax. Not to like delve into like how it's like it's both Weinstein and Depp adjacent, but like it was Miramax being like, you know what? We're going to make this movie. We're going to put people in it. We're going to tell everyone that it's great. And they're going to believe it because we're fucking Miramax.
It is
and
great,
we're
though.
And we're going to get every Oscar nomination. And they did.
Go ahead. It's your favorite.
What makes you so sure?
Go on, taste it.
That's fantastic. Oh,
thanks. I have a knack for guessing.
It's good. Not my favorite.
I wore my Tecovas, my new brown Tecovas boots, the Chelsea boots, to a dinner a few days ago.
I got complimented.
Well, they were great. They fit well, but they got complimented. And I was like, well, they're Spawn number one, but two, I really do love them. Thank you for complimenting my boots. I love my Tecovas boots. I know Lindsay loves hers too. I love what Tecovas put in their ad copy here. It's about festival and concert season being all about the boots, especially with a big album that came out very recently that I won't name, but
if you love
this
album,
this ain't Texas. You're going to want your Tecovas, you know? This ain't Texas. These Tecovas. They have seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All of their boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. They have first wear comfort, so you don't have to like break them in and wear them in. They're comfortable right out of the box. I can say that from experience. It's true. And their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. And if you live in a place with a Tecovas store, you should probably go there because they give you a drink, they help you out, they help you pick the perfect boots that you want, and it smells good because there's leather everywhere. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized and regular live music and events, so there's no in-store experience quite like it. But if you can't make it into a store, just go to tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Okay, well, who's next? Bip Ling. But before we get into Bip Ling, let's talk about Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson is a very
We're still talking about politics. Do you love it?
Yeah. Outspoken, very conservative Brexiter who is probably going to become the next prime minister of England.
And he right? is a yes.
Is that the best way of summarizing
he's a them
him?
He's a yeah. conservative. He is running
he's in parliament.
He's running for PM in England, and he is very
he loves Brexit,
and he loves Brexit
and he hates Combs.
No one can actually make Brexit happen, so like best of luck to you even if you love it. Do you know what I mean? This is not political podcast.
I would like to agree with that, but honestly I don't know.
No, we don't know. This is not about
his,
whether we
what
know.
He does in his spare time is he paints cardboard buses. Did you see that video?
Yeah, I did. They're like, what are your hobbies? Kind of like... And he just malfunctioned.
I like to paint. I make things. I like to...
What do you make?
I have a thing where I make models of... when I was in London, well, Mayor of London, we build a beautiful, I make buses.
Well, there was a really good, I don't remember what podcast I was listening to, but it was like, they were like, well, what's really funny about his response to that is it's impossible to tell whether or not he's actually just telling you a sort of weird, charming truth about himself that he feels embarrassed about, or if he's making it up as he goes along.
Yes.
Both of them make as much sense. Like, it's impossible to tell what he's doing.
Right.
So, like, if you want to picture Boris Johnson, imagine someone named Boris, okay? And then imagine that that person named Boris got stuck in a wind tunnel. And then that's Boris Johnson. He has a girlfriend, a much younger girlfriend, who is the daughter of, like, kind of an influential British family.
Yeah, so
they own,
she
who do they own the Telegraph?
Used to work for his campaign, I guess. Mm-hmm. She, like, helped him get elected. Her name is Carrie Simmons.
Yeah. Simmons.
Maybe it's Simons. It's spelled S-Y-M-O-N-D-S. British people probably know more than we do.
They're dating. I don't believe they live together. I think they stay with each other sometimes.
The Sun called her an ex-Tory spin doctor, but now they date.
That doesn't mean anything
to
me.
It doesn't mean, okay, but like, he's a Tory.
Yeah.
And she's an ex-Tory. I think she still is a Tory, but they mean she's an ex-spin doctor, and now she quit. She was the communications and PR chief. She worked for the Conservative campaign headquarters, and now she backs her partner to be prime minister. Her partner
yes.
is.
And at
Boris.
Some point, they might both live in 10 Downing Street. So I guess they do live together, at least part-time. They share a flat in this one neighborhood in London. And, you know, it's a big city, so your neighbors are close. And they apparently, allegedly, had a fight last week that involved a lot of screaming, a lot of throwing things. And so the neighbors, did you see the...
I'm obsessed with this, the neighbors.
The place that was like, the neighbors are lefty.
Yes.
Real lefty anti-Brexiters.
Two neighbors
like
who
young
happen
millennials.
To be lefties call the cops.
And they're like, Boris Johnson and his girlfriend are fighting. They're being really loud. Send the cops. And so the cops come. It's on the cover of like a few tabloids, like Boris and her and his, you know, gal pal have a spat in or a row. What do they call it? A row?
Mm-hmm.
They have a row in their little love nest. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the extent of it. We don't know what they're fighting about. We don't know why.
Well, they overhear him yelling at her about a laptop, wine on the couch, whatever.
But
this is from the lefty neighbors. So everybody is against each other. Also, don't forget, the context in which all of these things are getting reported is through the media. England has a very conservative media. All the newspapers are owned by these big conservative guys. So a lot of this, and that's what gets to what we're going to get to in a second, is that's why a lot of this is like very hard to trust in terms of where everything's coming from, which is why they would say, oh, their neighbors are leftists. It's like, that's hilarious. Yeah. Like, they just called the cops because they heard screaming, you know? Did they know their neighbor was Boris Johnson? Probably.
Of course.
Anyway,
you know. So they call the cops. They're on the cover of the tabloids, whatever. That's sort of it. But last week, things started bubbling up online, specifically on Twitter and some Reddit threads, that the reason behind the fight was because Boris Johnson's girlfriend, Carrie, found out that he was cheating on her or had some sort of relationship with another woman. Again, this is entirely unsubstantiated. There's no proof of this. This literally started on Twitter.
It's a very loud rumor. But everybody is super suspect of it. And
no one's really writing about it, but they're tweeting like crazy about
it. But no one's writing about it, but what we mentioned before, which is why people are saying that no one's writing about it, is because the Daily Mail, the Independent, the Sun, all these papers are owned by conservative, and they want Boris to win before they spill his garbage. Or even if they don't, so they're saying it's very catch and release.
And so what they're saying is that Boris is having an affair with a woman named Bip Ling. Bip Ling,
I'm obsessed with her. Obsessed.
A 20-something sort of hybrid of...
She was born in 1989. Kill me. She's Taylor Swift's age.
She might be 30. So she might be 30, but she's not over 30. She's sort of a hybrid of Emily Ratajkowski. Who was like an internet hipster runoff?
She's Lena Dunham. She's like Lena Dunham meets like Corey Kennedy, if you remember who that is.
Corey
like,
Kennedy.
Meets like...
Internet girl.
Like just like a MySpace famous art house.
Art adjacent.
Influencer.
Because her parents are artists.
DJ, musician, like meme, like essentially. Like early internet meme.
Aspiring model too. Like has like vague connections to fashion, but again, that comes from her like status in like the social world.
But apparently like British people like all know who she is. And like I've never heard of her. And then I started like finding out about her and I was like, I love her so much.
Hi, my name's Bip Ling. Hello, I'm Bip Ling, and I'm in the Forever 21 headquarters.
Meet Bip Ling, the daughter of renowned fashion illustrator Tanya Ling and gallery owner William Ling. She's one of the hottest properties on London's social scene. But apparently Bip's so much more than just an it girl, with a budding music and artistic career.
She's created her own language that includes words like Bip and Mooch.
Well,
and
she has, Ying, she has a cartoon guy named Mooch, who is like her brand, this guy named Mooch. Mm-hmm. And then she has an album called The Church of Bop.
What do you do? I blog. Oh, no way. You have a blog? Me too. Yeah. How could I live without blogging?
Speaks in like bip bopping mooch, like essentially.
Bop, bop, bip, bop,
so she was
mooch.
Interviewed. She also says yar a lot. Someone said, Flaunt Magazine said to her, can you define yar for me, mooching? Yar means giving it bip, living large. So bip that fudging is now born. Mooching means the bipper bitcher, drinking pink champagne, eating oysters and caviar, yar while riding blue ponies.
My favorite part of this interview was clearly done over text. And it says, I mean, I didn't even know Flaunt magazine existed outside of a very iconic Chris Evans photo shoot from like 2004, but apparently it still does. And this is a question they asked Bipling. Would you do your own reality show? And then the answer is Bip sends face with clear glasses emoji. And then they move on to the next question.
So her mother is a fashion illustrator who's worked for Vogue, and her father owns a gallery. So it's like she is like a Lena Dunham brought up in art world person. That's why I
brought up
think
in a big
her.
City. Like she has all these connections. She's very stylish. She's pretty.
And it this was written in the Standard. It says because while ex art student and a former PR Bipling 21 just thought she was quote writing her online journal, a record of what I get up to. Anyone paying attention noticed a hyper-excitable girl who is also a DJ and sells art through her blog with an offbeat fashion sense, artistic blogging style, and a penchant for My Little Pony that, when thrown together, makes her just about the trendiest thing to ever come out of Wimbledon.
What else could there be? Cara Delevingne wears her bows sometimes, but I feel like that was a while ago.
She has a lot of friends with Charlie. She was friends with a lot of different, like British scene. Does she know Rita? Mm-hmm. Probably.
Who doesn't know Rita? So, Bip is brought up in this Twitter thread. People start really running for it. Like our Twitter friend of the pod, Jono, was like, even tweeted like, I can't wait. What was it like? I can't wait for the American press to start Googling Bipling.
And let me tell you, honey, we are Googling.
So we did, and we're loving it. But again, all of this started on Twitter. So a funny thing is this, one of the women who was like starting this, like the Bipling momentum, like she was responsible for this fight. Emailed Bip's PR contact and we're like, hey,
she's a reporter, her name's Sophie Wilkinson.
She's like, hey, can you tell us like any comments on the Bipling Boris Johnson thing? And Bip's response is no comment. And so a lot of people interpreted this as like, ooh, this is something's happening. But the other interpretation of this, which has been more prevalent over the past few hours, is that like, of course she's saying no comment. We haven't heard from Bipling in like a year and a half. She's like, doesn't want to be famous anymore.
Yeah,
so
which is unusual
really
for
no
Bip.
Yes. So it's sort of like she's saying no comment because she's like, what the hell is this? Yeah. This is all made up.
So Sophie also tweets, I have now received intel that suggests either the rumor started on June 18th before Boris and Carrie's argument or the entire thing is legit. I've put in for more leads. I'm not sure Bip's no comment could be read as attention seeking, as some have suggested. She's not been seen in the public eye for years. Why start now? Why with this? In short, and then after that, she chats with Bip on the phone, and Bip said there was nothing to corroborate. There's nothing to corroborate the allegations. And then she says she has a new song called BFD, Big Fat Dick. And here's a press release for it. It's like, I have no idea what you're talking about, but here's my single for Big Fat Dick.
But also like, well, the way I interpreted this was sort of like, so did you, is this Bipling's art to start a rumor to promote her single? Like, probably not. That's probably way too complicated. But like, there's really no way to know at this point.
But the thing is
who
like,
who started this?
These newspapers have reported way less confirmed things than this. So why aren't they talking about this? If you scroll down to the part where Carrie Simons, that was, remember, Boris Johnson's girlfriend we had the fight with, her parents are... Her father is one of the founders of The Independent, and his mother was one of the paper's lawyers. So, like, everything is connected to the idea that these newspapers are not reporting, you know, are not doing anything about it because they don't want to. They don't want to.
Yeah.
And what they are reporting is that there are people who are starting hoaxes, dirty tricks. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
So the only place that this is mentioned by a paper is by the Daily Mail, and they say a known hoaxer has been touting a video of fashion blogger making claims of an unsubstantiated affair with Boris Johnson. Nimrod Kamer, 34, sent journalists a video of Bipling, 30, claiming a romance, but now seems to be a stunt to boost the profile of the social media influencer. And so we're saying Bip hasn't been seen in like a few years. Why would she send this to do this whole, you know what I mean? This all doesn't add up.
Well, I don't even know if we should believe that video even exists. So, right. Are they reporting on the rumor of a video,
yes,
or are they reporting on the fact the video has
He's
been seen
trying
by
to
them?
Sell. So the pair tried to attempt to sell her story for £1,000 1,200 pounds, which is insane, which is too low, too sus, too low. But this newspaper found no evidence to support her claims that he stayed the night in her South London flat in June. She could not provide phone messages saying her phone was damaged, but claimed Mr. Johnson sent her a model of a London bus and left a pair of his socks at her flat. Daily Mail's playing some tricks. Or this is true. Like, we don't know. Is Boris Johnson having an affair with a MySpace influencer named Bipling? We don't know.
Maybe.
Are we obsessed with it? Yes. Do we love her? Yes, we stan. I was reading Pop Bitch about this a little bit because, you know, they're out of England and they write a lot about this stuff. And they say, pundits have wondered why Boris Johnson and his team seem so keen to avoid addressing the substance of this lover's tiff. If anyone could bluster his way through some half-arsed excuse and emerge unscathed, it's him. Could it be that the row he had with Carrie Symons in her Camberwell flat actually went on significantly longer than it's been reported so far, and that it contained way more personal details about the current state of his relationship? So there's two sides to this. There's, they had this fight, it was overheard, what's going on with that? And then the other side is Bipling. Like, that's the other, that's the further journey of this story.
So what do we think? What do we think about Bipling? Do we believe it or not? I believe it. I believe everything. Do you believe it?
I believe everything. I'm so happy that this gave us the opportunity to learn about Bipling is what I'm saying.
Me too. Bipling,
because
so much fun.
I love her music. I think she is extremely talented and I love her.
Are you going to play some of her music here? It's
throughout
so good.
This whole segment is going to be Bipling music. Did you hear Bipburger? So Bitburger's good.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, shout out to our British friends for giving us more information about this.
We love this tip off. And if you have more information, we'd gladly hide your voice and then put our watermark over it.
Yes. Oh, we love our watermark. We can't wait to use it every week now.
Food addict, if you're already thinking about your second Bitburger before you've eaten your first. Your girlfriend's gonna be hashtag jealous when she sees all the pics of your Bitburger. Better take a bite before it gets cold. Bitbopping to Bitbop, mooching in a burger bip shop. Bitbopping to Bitbop, mooching in a burger bip shop. Bitbopping to Bitbop, mooching in a burger bip shop.
Moving on, Camila Cabello has split with her boyfriend, Matthew Hussey.
If you remember him, he's like the dating coach.
Oh, you're yawning?
Sorry. If you remember him, he's... I should have just given up.
Who are you, me?
I tried to hide it.
He's a dating coach.
She was dating this dating coach for a while. We were obsessed with him when they first started dating because it's so wild that she was dating a dating coach.
And they had the most staged photos in a really long time.
Right.
Like them, like on the rocks on vacation. I just love the link that you put in here. The headline, I'm not sure if I'm just missing the pun or if there isn't a pun, but it's not Havana, Brit fella.
I don't get
Camila
that at
Cabello
all.
Splits with her heartbroken British love guru boyfriend, Matthew Hussey.
What's not,
Havana, Brit fella?
Not having it?
Not Havana?
Not having it, Brit fella.
Or not Havana.
Not Havana.
Not Havana.
Are we missing
something?
Is it
not Havana, comma, Brit fella? Or is it not Havana, Brit? Havana?
What's not Havana?
Is it saying like not in Havana, comma, Brit fella? Or is it not
Havana,
Brit fella?
And Brit are two places?
I don't. Yeah, I think so. But is it, or is it like not Havana, Brit fella?
I think it's the second if you're talking about it being a...
What I will say is that I love the lead, which is Camila Cabello might have a new number one by the end of the week, and I don't just mean in the charts.
Everyone suspects it's what's his face because they have a song together, but it's so
Shawn Mendes.
Not that. I don't think it's that.
Oh, you don't think Shawn Mendes is in a relationship with Camila Cabello?
No, I don't think he's in a relationship with Camila Cabello.
Shawn Mendes is like, the check cleared, I'm in a relationship with Camila Cabello. We got a really funny call from someone in Des Moines that was like, hey, just want to let you know that, like, she was really funny, actually. She was saying that the radio stations in Des Moines, like, are just, like, giving away so many Shawn Mendes tickets.
Aww.
Like, it's abnormal, the number of people. It's, like, very unprecedented. And she's like, they just keep giving away Shawn Mendes tickets, so it must be selling really badly, which is unsurprising, but also sort of not, just because he is really big right now.
He's really big right now. He has a new song with Camila Cabello, haven't you heard?
Just every time you turn on the radio in Des Moines, it's like, please take, for the love of God, so, take a ticket to this concert.
In other relationship news, we're going to skim through some of these because it's like blah, 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 blah. Catherine McPhee and David Foster got married finally. Guess what? We still have to hear about this. Like, I hate that this is not just like over. She is a terror. Yeah. Love her.
She's a terror. Gotta say.
What?
She looked great in that dress.
She did look great. She looked great.
She looked great in both dresses.
She looked great at her wedding.
She looked great in the wedding dress and then the post-wedding dress.
So it was reported that Dua Lipa was dating Anwar Hadid. Yes, that is the Hadid brother. There is a Hadid brother, and Dua Lipa and him were reportedly dating.
He's some people's favorite Hadid.
Some people's. One person. Amina's favorite person. And then the other funny, so this was reported, and then shortly after it was reported that Dua Lipa was kissing Chris Martin at Glastonbury. We had heard this rumor.
Where did we hear that from? Oh, yeah.
Inside source. And then it was reported in the Daily Mail, and then Chris Martin denied it.
It's like, Chris,
don't deny that. What a dull denial. Like, that's, I'm denying so this rude. Kiss. Like, okay, bitch, whatever. We did
Chris
not
Martin,
kiss.
What a weird place he's in. You know?
Fully
in terms
weird.
Of like career and life stage.
Just like a fully weird guy. But I believe that he'll like be a bachelor until the end of time if he wants to be. He's like, he gives off that energy, you know?
He just like every few weeks he just has to go check in with the kids and Goopy and like see everyone, and then he can go live his own life. Like, they just have to like, you know, consciously co-parent for a little bit, and then he can go make out with Dua Lipa at Glastonbury.
I feel like after you're married to Gwyneth Paltrow, it's like you kind of just have to like give up on, not that no one can compare. I just mean like you're kind of ruined. Like, it's just like the whole thing is just.
It's like it reminds me of. I may have to clip this for you because thank God I own it on digital. But it's the scene in True Beverly Hills where Craig T. Nelson is in the car with his new girlfriend, and he's just gone in to see Shelley Long and Jenny Lewis, and he gets back in the car and she's like, "What took you so long? Like, you were in there forever, like with your shitty ex-wife and your dumb daughter. Like, what's the deal?" And then he's like, goes on a little rant, and then he's like,
"Well, the wilderness girls are real important to Hannah, you know, and." Oh, yeah, I don't know. You're too young to understand this, but she'll always be my wife.
What?
I said she'll always be my daughter.
You said she'll always be my wife.
Oh, I couldn't have said that.
But you did.
But that's Chris Martin being like, she'll always be my wife.
Right. Like, right. No, like, true.
And then Dua Lipa's like, excuse you? She'll always be my apple.
I mean, they're both off like long relationships too. They're both fresh off long relationships. It's Glastonbury.
Dua?
Like, to make out. Like, who cares?
Oh, Dua and her boyfriend.
Yeah, she just broke up with her boyfriend.
Didn't the boyfriend cheat on her? Ugh.
A while back.
Poor Dua.
A while back, then they got back together and then they broke up again.
This I love. This is not relationship. This is just very strange. Melissa Rycroft, we've never talked about her.
So weird. Melissa Rycroft is a Bachelor alum who also... like was on Dancing with the Stars, and she's on CMT's Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders Making the Team.
All concurrently?
Like, who is she? I don't know. But what's funny about is that, so this is dark. We're just going to go dark for 1 minute. All these people are like dying in the Dominican Republic and no one knows why. Tourists on vacation, right?
Mystery illnesses.
There's a mystery illness in the Dominican Republic that is killing people, tourists mostly.
Tourists.
And it's very confusing and they don't really know what's up yet. That's the dark side point. What's funny about this is that this woman was like talking about God knows what and was like, I went to the Dominican Republic and my parents like couldn't get in touch with me and they thought I died or something. And everyone was just like, what?
There was one report that was out that I was dead. My parents were frantically calling me that morning going, we're getting calls from people sending their condolences. I'm like, Mom, I'm on the phone with you. I'm in my bed.
She got diarrhea and they were like, oh, she died. Like, she just got like a little diarrhea.
But imagine reporting on this. Who is she? Why are you reporting
on this?
This
is very like the Bachelorette who went missing. What was her? Remember the one that went fake missing?
Oh, Melissa.
No, maybe. Remember, she was like... I'm not missing.
And she was like, no, I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, I remember her.
She was just on The Bachelorette.
And she was in that, like, there was that, Rebecca Martinez.
She was just on The Bachelor, and her mom, like, thought, like, reported her missing.
But there was that town that was like, there are 35 people have gone missing in this town. It's the highest rate of missing persons in the country. And then she was like, don't put me on that list. Hi, I'm here. And the mom thought, and she went to go work in, like, Humboldt County on a wheat farm or something.
What's with bachelors and this alum I'm and not this sure. shit?
But for the sake of fairness, the end of this page six story about the mystery illness in Dominican Republic that's related to Melissa Rycroft has a quote from the tourism minister of the Dominican Republic, Francisco Javier Garcia. He says, "We have unequivocally shown that there is not an avalanche of deaths of American tourists in this country. It is not true that there are mysterious deaths."
He's lying. There's so many mysterious deaths. What are you fucking talking about? There's every death is mysterious. You shut up. That's great. There's so many mysterious deaths. 11 people have gotten sick over the past year, and dozens have died. 11 people died, and dozens have gotten more sick.
So many people get sick over the course of
a year. Three of the cases involve tourists dying at the same hotel chain.
Before we move on to the next topic, I just want to say that there's breaking news.
Oh, no, what?
Kim Kardashian is renaming Kimono.
She fucking succumbed to the mob.
She succumbed to the pressure.
Good, it's stupid. What is it?
We don't know what it's going to be, but I wouldn't be surprised if all of this was planned in advance.
Oh, you're right. Now she has so much attention.
And then people will feel comfortable.
What if she names it like sushi? Like, what other like Japanese term can she appropriate or whatever?
What is next on here? Shay Mitchell, she's pregnant.
This I love. Everybody got a press release that Shay Mitchell was not only pregnant, but she was pregnant with a YouTube series about being pregnant.
But I'm going to be so happy when this comes out. I can be pregnant. I can be like, not suck my stomach in. Oh,
this doesn't look pregnant. This looks like I let myself go for a long time.
Shay Mitchell, I never have forget, not seen... is the one who maybe doctored all of those travel photos.
Vacation photos.
We love her.
I will not. I don't know that I can name a recent pregnancy announcement that was this well photographed, apart from maybe Beyonce's.
Well, because it was a video about the pregnancy that dropped with the information. And I guess what's funny to me about this is that no one really even suspected she was pregnant because no one really knew who her boyfriend was. And not that you can't just get pregnant off the street. You can just whatever, do whatever you want. But it was like, was so funny about Shay Mitchell being a public figure was that no one knew that she had or who was her boyfriend. So her getting pregnant.
I hope
pregnant,
you're doing air quotes with public figure, by the way.
You know what I mean? I'm trying to not like shame, like, you know, you can get pregnant from like whatever the hell you want. Like, you don't need a boyfriend. You don't need a man.
Well, you need one thing in specific.
It was just particular. So funny because everybody was just like, cool, Shay, but like, who's your boyfriend? Who's the guy? Like, who's...
Sperm used to be free. It was all over the place.
Yeah, just, you could just grab it from the air. Anyways, Shay Mitchell announces she's pregnant with a YouTube original series to follow her path to motherhood.
Called Almost Ready. I love that it's called Almost Ready.
It's called Almost Ready. What I love about this headline is that it could just be that she's pregnant with a YouTube series, but she's pregnant and pregnant with a YouTube series. The first comment with 11,000 thumbs up. I didn't even know she had a boyfriend. See? I'm not crazy.
It's funny.
And then
it's really funny.
In the oh no, they didn't comments, you get the real tea, which is, lol, she's pregnant with that VJ from Much Music. Me, what? I Google, who is Shay Mitchell's boyfriend, VJ Much Music. His name is Matt, spelt Matt like the...
The opposite of glossy.
Yeah, Matt, but Babble. And he is best
like
known...
Like the Brad Pitt movie.
Yes, like the Brad Pitt movie.
Matt, like opposite of glossy, babble like the Brad Pitt movie.
He is best known for hosting Fuse Music on Much Music and has continued to work in front of the camera. He's like a lesser known Carson Daly in Canada.
Yeah.
And he also is a contributor for our enemy, Entertainment Tonight Canada.
He works for Entertainment Tonight Canada?
Our enemies. Just kidding. We love them. That's
hate. Entertainment Tonight Canada.
That's so mean to say.
Not that I'm used to getting photographed or being on camera, but never in my life have I been more poorly lit than I was by the folks at Entertainment Tonight Canada. Made me look like I was dying of whatever disease what's-her-name got in the Dominican Republic. Melissa Rycroft. If my family had seen that footage of me on Entertainment Tonight Canada, they would have been like, "We are you dying?" we saw it in Canada that you're dying.
I had also been dying, but the opposite of that disease that you were suffering from.
Yeah, we both looked like we were on our deathbed.
Anyways, this is rude to Entertainment Canada, who very kindly featured our podcast, but yikes. Anyways, guess what? He's from Toronto, and guess what? He's friends with Drake, because you got to be friends with Drake if you live in Toronto and you're like remotely known for anything. So Shay Mitchell, pregnant, boyfriend, YouTube series, kill me.
Matt Babble.
What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about the number one Who. Lindsay, Bobby, tell us now. What's Rita Ora up to?
Who is this woman?
Yeah, what's Rita up to?
Rita Ora busts out of tiny bra in sizzling Instagram update. Fans say she looks like J-Lo. And honestly, as Lindsay says, she does.
She really does.
She looks like Lindsay Pace in this headline. And underneath it adds, she does. And then there's the photo.
Is she real?
She looks like J-Lo.
She does look like J-Lo. And
she's never looked more like J-Lo. She's doing that J-Lo downward pout.
Rita Ora, honestly... This is, I know, the joke we've been saying for 3 years now, but Rita Ora would be an amazing, if this pop music thing doesn't happen for her, impersonator. No, just of any pop star. Because she can like go in and out of anyone.
Oh, wow. You're right.
You know?
I gotta say though, this is J-Lo's body language. This is J-Lo's signature body
glasses,
language. It's her signature
hair.
Pout. That pout she has mastered. Look at that pout. It's only J-Lo
like
has
that mouth
pout.
Is open. I can see your top teeth.
Ugh.
Mouth breathing. We love it.
So I thought for a while that JoJo Siwa was going to be the face of Prime Day this year, but it turns out it's Taylor Swift and Rita Ora, which is a surprise.
Incredible.
I thought it was JoJo.
For Rita. Basically, the AP reports that Rita Ora, Taylor Swift is headlining Amazon's Global Prime Day in New York. She's like performing with Dua Lipa, SZA, Becky G at this like event.
Good for Becky G. Where did Becky G come from?
I mean, she's a huge international star.
Is she still making music though?
She's a huge, like,
I haven't heard a new Becky G song in a while.
Because her songs are all in Spanish and you are not worldly, I guess.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that she was releasing Spanish
constantly
language.
Big songs too. I see her everywhere.
Well, that's good.
And in the UK for Amazon's Prime Day concert in the UK, Rita Ora is the headline.
Good for her.
That's crazy.
That's really good. That's huge.
Is Rita Ora
because Prime Day
the
is
Taylor
like a huge
Swift.
Disappointment. So they're trying to be like, you're never gonna buy anything you like on Prime Day. But
I know
you can come
Prime Day
concert.
Sucks.
Prime Day's the fucking worst.
It's so disappointing.
Have
like
you
Taylor
ever
Swift.
Bought anything on Prime Day?
No, never.
Because all of the crap is bad.
No, and like honestly,
it's like get some whack ass like lightning cord cable connector that can also like charge your phone, and it's like $3, but it's gonna break in 2 days. Like it's their dumpy. It's the day that they used to sell off all their crap that hasn't been selling.
I love crap, but I can buy crap any day of the year, and I do.
Yeah.
Just bought a new Kindle. Speaking of fucking Amazon,
Did you get the one that lights up?
Yeah, of course. Oh, of course. I just didn't get the one that was fully waterproof because it was really expensive. But I got a white one that lights up.
It lights up. That's good.
Yeah.
Those are good.
I love those. We love those.
You put this here. Is Rita the Taylor Swift of the UK?
No. The answer no. But think about it. She could be. Is she? No.
But she could be.
Anyways.
Rita can be anything. Rita can be anything. So you also put this outfit, which is sort of...
terrible.
Weird for her.
Well,
like,
so
she never looks this
a blogger
like, wild.
At Stylecaster wrote an entire post about a Rita Ora outfit that they were confused by, and I thought it was worthy of mention because it's funny. She wrote, because we know Rita Ora is a fashion icon. She takes
and
risks.
She always looks so cool and stylish, and then this sort of
she
looks like she got dressed
risk.
In the dark.
So it says, on Thursday night, Rita Ora left the restaurant Nobu in an outfit I cannot for the life of me wrap my head around. The singer donned a red and white polka dot blouse paired with a brown plaid blazer and boyfriend jeans. That alone is a bit of an odd combination, but nothing which I would turn my head. But on top of the plaid blazer, Ora had a yellow cardigan tied around her shoulders and was also carrying a patterned Dior bag and wearing bedazzled sunglasses at night. might I add. Add in the color block neutral heels Aura wore, and I'm sufficiently confused. It was like at least three different decades of fashion mixed with three different patterns and colors coming together to create one ambiguously appealing ensemble. Honestly, I don't even know what to think other than Rita Ora still somehow rocks the outfit, which is true.
It's true.
She looks weird but good.
This seems like a dare. Honestly, she could put on anything. She could wear the clothes from my closet and they'd be like, wow, Everlane, like style
a bunch
legend.
Of Everlane shirts and shorts.
Just a bunch of Everlane shirts. A bunch of Everlane shirts and like really crappy shorts.
Rita Ora steps out in Bobby Fingers' Everlane wardrobe.
Rita Ora busts out of men's linen top. Well, yeah, busts out.
I mean,
in
she
sizzling
even
Instagram
wear,
update, put, I'm like in the background. I'm like, what? Why are you wearing my clothes?
Why are you wearing my clothes?
I mean, she's carrying my Patricia Clarkson bag.
She can wear anything. She even put this photo here. She can even wear a cartoon Homer Simpson bikini.
So wait, she's fully naked here, right? She was naked and then they just drew a bikini over her. Is that what this is?
I have no idea. But why is Homer Simpson
it's
here?
So funny. So Rita posted this photo of her in a pool.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like, I mean, maybe she's clothed and they just drew over it. But I think she was topless in the pool. And then because the bikini that's on her is drawn, it's this like pink and yellow bikini that's like drawn over her, but then there's also more cartoon imagery like drawn over her. There's like a monster in her hand, there's like fake water around her, and then there's Homer Simpson drooling.
Why is Homer Simpson there?
And I think it looks like someone made this for
and
her.
And Rita just wrote love this.
The caption is love this. Same, yet again, same.
What is this, Rita?
Is this a new app where you can just like add Simpson images to your thing?
Love this. What is
love
this? What is it? What is this?
Who made it?
Who made it?
She's so fun.
She's so fun. She's so fun.
You know what else is fun? What? Ending this episode.
Oh my God. What a
transition.
Thank
you for listening to yet another episode of Who Weekly. Thank you to all of our sponsors for, you know, putting up with us. Support us on patreon.com/whoweekly for a bi-weekly newsletter. That reminds me, the thing about the Shay Mitchell show that I really love is that it's not even it's bi-weekly new episodes, but they say where is it, the bi-weekly YouTube original series Almost Ready will premiere every other Wednesday. Oh, it's every other Wednesday.
What?
I thought they used bi-weekly because they weren't sure how many episodes they were going to do. And they were like, let's use the word that could mean two things.
Well, then they defined that they meant every other.
Then they defined that they meant every other.
Yeah.
Imagine watching a Shay Mitchell show twice a week.
God, imagine being able to do Who Weekly every other week. What a fantasy.
Support us on patreon.com/whoweekly. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Call us at 619-WHO-THEM, especially if you have Bibling Goss or Marianne Williamson Goss.
Oh,
or
yeah.
If you
give
are
us that
Marianne
international
Wilson
international Goss.
Remember when
please.
We wanted that fucking drip ass
what are you
drip
fucking talking
Pete
about?
Buttigieg on this podcast? We yeah. were sleeping on Marianne Williamson.
And Bip.
Marianne Williamson, come on the podcast.
No,
we don't want to talk about politics.
Don't come on
we want
the
to
podcast.
Talk about love. We want to talk about miracles. We want to talk about Laura Dern. We want to talk about Oprah. We want to talk about everything but politics. And we will see you on Friday. Happy July, y'all. It's July, y'all.
You or Jayla? Yeah.
They want to know.
To be famous.
And I will tell her girlfriend you were so on.